Saxmanogos Project Test Mission Basin Tool Project Test Mission Hey. The previous missioner began to discuss the different measuring utensils which were used in the Beis HaMikdash. And whereas the focus of the first mission of the Perek was regarding measuring solids, namely flour, the next couple of Mishnayos discuss the measuring utensils which were used for liquids, namely oil and wine. We saw that there were two or possibly three measuring utensils used for the flour. When it comes to the liquid measuring utensils, the Mishnah says, Sheva midos shelachoi b'mikdash, there were seven different measuring utensils for liquids in the Beis HaMikdash. Hin. The Mishnah now lists them in order, starting from the largest one. The largest could hold hin, which is a liquid measurement equivalent to 12 lug. V'chatziah hin, half a hin that can hold 6 lug. Shlishsa hin, a third of a hin. That means that it can hold 4 lug. Or v'yasa hin, a quarter of a hin, equivalent to 3 lug. Loig, a measuring utensil which could hold a loig, v'chatzi loig, half a loig, or v'yas loig, and a quarter of a loig. So the largest utensil that there was 48 times as large as the smallest utensil. One hin is 12 loig, and a v'yas is a quarter of a loig. So that's how the calculation comes out. So Rabbi Lezben Yaak, Rabbi Lezben Yaak says that there weren't seven different types of measuring utensils. There was only one. There was one measuring utensil for liquids, and that could hold up to a hin. Up to 12 loig, and using that one measuring utensil, shenosazoi bahim, there were signs marked on this measuring utensil which held a hin, and that way they would know, adkan lapar, until this point they would need to fill up for the oil or wine used for a bull, adkan la'ayil, until this point they need to fill it up for a ram, adkan la'keves, until this point for a sheep. The amount of oil and wine differs based on what type of carbon it is, what type of animal. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, there was no need for multiple measuring utensils. Now, Rabbi Shimon agrees essentially with the Tanakhama, the first opinion, that there were multiple utensils used, each one being a different size. However, the largest one, he says, Lo yashom hin, there was no measuring utensil which could hold up to a hin. V'chi mehoyo hin ayin meshamesh, because when did we ever need to use a measuring utensil which could hold up to a hin? No service in the Beis HaMikdash requires 12 loig of oil or wine. The maximum is 6 loig. However, Rabbi Shimon also had a tradition that there were indeed 7 different utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says that what was the 7th one? Elomido yisera shel loig u'mechza ahisa, there was an additional measuring utensil which held a loig and a half. Because they would use it for measuring the oil needed for the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, 1.5 loig for the offering which we would bring in the morning, and 1.5 loig for the flour offering which we would bring in the afternoon. According to the first opinion of the Mishnah, we could just use two different measuring utensils, the measuring utensil of a loig and a measuring utensil of half a loig, and put them together. However, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that it's considered to be more respectable, and it should be done in a neater fashion by using just one utensil. Now, the question we need to ask is the opposite on the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah. Why was there a measuring utensil which could hold up to a hin if they never needed a hin? The answer is that the Shemen HaMishcha, the special oil which Moshe Rabbeinu made and put together in order to anoint both the Kohanim and the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash, and on other occasions, this oil was, it made up a hin, that was the volume of the oil. And so for that oil, they would need a utensil which could hold a hin. And so they kept that even for the times of the Beis HaMikdash, even though it was no longer needed. Mishnah Gimel, this Mishnah elaborates on the 7 different types, 7 different sizes of measuring utensils used for liquids, which were mentioned in the previous Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins from the smallest, and we'll list which what was the purpose of each of these measuring utensils. Revius mehayis meshameshes, the measuring utensil, the measuring tool which could hold a revius, a quarter of a loig of oil or wine, what was that used for? Revius mayim lametzayir, the truth is not just oil and wine. Over here we find an example where water also needed to be measured, and that is for the revius mayim lametzayir, the quarter of a loig of water which is needed for the metzayir. A metzoyah is somebody who becomes tome as a result of having certain spots on his body, tzora'as, and at the end of his purification process, he needs to bring certain karbonos. And involved in this procedure is bringing two birds, one of which is slaughtered. And the blood from that bird which is slaughtered is put into a utensil, and the Torah requires that it be put into a utensil, into a container which has in it water. That having been said, there can't be too much water such that the blood will not be recognizable. And therefore, only a quarter of a log of water is put into the utensil, such that when the blood goes into it, we'll still be able to recognize the blood in itself. Okay, in addition to that, a revius was needed, a revius shemen nozer, for the quarter of a log of oil, which a nozer requires for the loaves which he brings to accompany his korbanos, for his korban mincha. Alright, now the Mishnah goes on to the next, slightly larger utensil, which was used for liquids. Chatzi loig behind Meshamesh, what was the measuring utensil which could hold half a loig? What was that used for? Chatzi loig maim na soita, half a loig of water which was needed for a soita. A soita is a woman who has been accused by her husband of having had relations with another man, and he takes her up to the Beis HaMikdash, where they go through a whole procedure in order to check whether indeed she is guilty or not. And one part of that procedure is taking a piece of parchment which has Hashem's name written on it, and dissolving it in water. And the amount of water which is needed is half a loig. V'chatzi loig shemen la'tzeida, and half a loig of oil which is needed for the loaves which accompany a korban tzeida. For that korban mincha, the amount of oil which is mixed with the flour is half a loig. Now the Mishnah goes on to the third utensil, of a loig, the measuring utensil which could hold a loig, ha'yamoded l'cham anachos. They would use to measure for all of the korbanos mincha, the offerings of flour which require an addition of oil. The standard size for a korban mincha, its standard volume of flour, is one isorain, a tenth of an ephah, and mixed with one loig of oil. And now there's an interesting discussion that, according to the first opinion of the Tanakhama, afilu mincha shel shishim isorain, even if somebody does bring a korban mincha which contains 60 isorain of flour, for example, he volunteered to bring a much larger korban mincha, he's able to do so. In such a case, he would also need to increase the amount of oil. Nosin lo shishim loig, he would need to add to that 60 loig of oil. However, Rabbi Elizman Yaakov says, afilu mincha shel shishim isorain, even a korban mincha of 60 isorain of flour, eino ela luga, only has one loig of oil mixed with it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, lemincha veloig shomen, that it should be for a mincha and a loig of oil. So we see that every korban mincha has a requirement of bringing a loig of shemen, not a loig of oil. That doesn't mean proportionately a loig of oil for every isorin of flour, but the pasuk is saying something definitive, that always only one loig of oil is required. Now, there are three more measuring utensils which the Mishnah has not yet discussed. The truth is four, but the hin, the one which could hold the hin, we said there was no actual use for that in the Beis HaMikdash. So there are three remaining. And now the Mishnah actually flips the order to start from the largest one, Shisha, the one which held six loig, which is half a hin. That was used for the oil needed lapar for a korban mincha which accompanied the offering of a bull, arba'a l'ayel, four loig, which is equivalent to a third of a hin. That's the amount of oil which was needed for the flour offering which accompanied a ram which was being bought as a korban, and shalosha, three loig, which is equivalent to a quarter of a hin. That is the amount of oil which was needed for the korban mincha, the flour offering which accompanied a lamb. And the Mishnah ends off, shleisha umechtzel ha-menorah, 3.5 loig were needed for lighting of the menorah every day. Now there's no measuring utensil which is 3.5 loig, that doesn't matter, because anyway, each of the individual lamps used on the menorah contained half a loig. Altogether, that's seven branches of the menorah. Seven lots of half a loig equals 3.5 loig. But they would use the half loig measuring utensil for each of the lamps of the menorah. Mishnah Dalet, as the previous Mishnah stated, the different animals which are bought as a korban have different amounts of oil which are necessary for the korban mincha, and the amount of flour also varies based on which animal is being bought. There are three animals which are essentially options to be bought as korbanos: a bull, a ram, and a lamb or goat. Now, although a ram and a bull require different amounts of flour and oil, the ratio of flour to oil is the same. And we'll explain. The bull requires 6 loig of oil, like the previous Mishnah stated, and 3 isorin of flour. So that's basically 2 loig of oil for every isorin of flour, and a ram requires 4 loig of oil and 2 isorin of flour, which is also a ratio of 1 isorin of flour per every 2 loig of oil. On the other hand, a lamb requires 3 loig of oil and 1 isorin of flour, so the ratio of flour to oil is not the same. And because of that, the Arvin Niske Elim Niske Porim, We're first going to translate the Mishnah according to the simple translation, although the Gemara does explain it otherwise. So simply speaking, the Mishnah is saying that one is permitted to mix the Nesachim, which accompany rams, with the Nesachim, which accompany bulls. The Nesachim is a general term which includes both the Korban Mincha, which is the flour and oil mixed together, as well as the wine which accompanies certain Korbanos. So according to the simple read of the Mishnah, we're referring to all of the Nesachim, but since at least the ratio of flour to oil is the same for both rams and bulls, they can be mixed together, it's not going to make a difference. Niske kvasim and niske kvasim, and then the nesachim which accompanies sheep, lambs or goats, they can be mixed with nesachim which are designated for a different animal, which is also a lamb or a goat. Shayochid b'shal tzibur, if it's the nesachim which are accompanying an individual's private carbon, one is allowed to mix it with the nesachim accompanying a carbon brought on behalf of everybody, shel yom b'shal emesh, or if it's nesachim which are accompanying a carbon being brought today, it can be mixed with the nesachim which are supposed to come for a carbon which was brought yesterday, as long as the ratio of flour to oil is the same. It doesn't matter if you mix it. However, one cannot mix together the nesachim which accompany lambs with the nesachim which accompany bulls or rams, because the ratio of flour to oil, and therefore the thickness of the mixture, varies between those different korbanos. The Gemara, however, learns from Pesukim that it is certainly forbidden, ideally, to mix together any nesachim of flour and oil with the nesachim of flour oil of a different korban. If one did go ahead and do it, and they got mixed together, then, as long as the ratio of flour to oil is the same, it would still be valid. If the ratio of flour to oil is not the same, it would actually be invalid even once it's been done. But be as it may, ideally speaking, one is not allowed to mix together in a sochem of two different carbonates at all. So therefore, if the Mishnah is saying that it is permitted to do so even on an ideal level, as long as the ratio of flour to oil is the same, that leads the Gemara to conclude that the Mishnah is actually talking about only one type of nesachim, and that is the wine. Now the truth is, even the wine, which is supposed to accompany a particular carbon, cannot, even on an ideal level, cannot be mixed with the wine being brought for a different carbon, unless the flour and oil being brought for that carbon have already been mixed together and burnt on the mizbeach. The reason for that is, since there is a requirement learned from Pesukim already, Midoraisa, there is a requirement on a Torah level not to mix the flour and oil of one carbon with the flour and oil of a different carbon. Midrabbanon, it's forbidden to do so even with the wine, so that you don't come to do so with the flour and oil. However, that's only as long as the flour and oil still exist, and there's a danger that you might come to do so. But once the flour and oil have already been burnt on the Mizbeach, or if the flour and oil did end up being mixed with the flour and oil of a different carbon, as long as it's the same ratio, if let's say it's bulls and rams, so then at that point, it would also then become permitted to mix the wine with different wine, because there's no longer any danger of invalidating the flour and oil. So what our Mishnah is telling us is that once the flour and oil of two different carbonis have either already been offered up onto the Mizbeach, or they've been mixed together already, and therefore there's no point in forbidding mixing the wine together, because that's only in order to prevent somebody from ending up mixing the flour and oil together, and that's already been done. So at that point, it would be permitted to mix the wine of those two korbanos as well, even on an ideal level. There's no longer any reason to forbid it, midrabbanon. However, the Mishnah is telling us that that's only true regarding two korbanos which have the same ratio of flour to oil, such that when those two are mixed together, it remains valid. However, if you're talking about the nesachim which accompany a lamb, together with the nesachim which accompany a bull, let's say, so if the flour and oil of those two korbanos get mixed together, then it's invalid. It's more severe, and therefore, in such a case where they did get mixed together and the flour and oil is invalid, it would still be forbidden to mix the wine of those two together, since the law is that they need to now go and bring different flour and oil. The flour and oil which they had already is now invalidated. And because of that, it is still relevant to prohibit midrabbanon mixing the wine of those two korbanos together. Continues the Mishnah now talking about the flour and oil being mixed together. If the flour and oil for one carbon was all mixed together by itself, and for a different carbon it was also mixed together by itself. And then Vinus Aruv, they get mixed together, Kasherin, then they are valid. We're going to understand that we're talking specifically about flour and oil, which has the same ratio. However, imagine Bolal, if they get mixed together before the individual flour and oil Nesachim have been mixed properly. So then, even in the case where it has the same ratio, it would be possible invalid, because we don't see here two different distinguishable Nesachim, rather, it's all just one big mixture and it would be invalid. Now, we mentioned that regarding the Nesachim which accompany a lamb or a goat, one isorin of flour is required and three loig of oil. There's one exception to that, which the Torah specifies, hakeves haboim ha'omer. The sheep which comes with the korban omer on the second day of Pesach, even though its korban mincha is doubled, meaning the volume of flour is two esrainim instead of the regular one isorin, the rest of the nesachim were not doubled, and therefore there would still only be three loig of oil, and the same amount for wine, and that part wouldn't change, only the amount of flour would change in that case. All of the measures taken in the Beis HaMikdash and the different measurements we've discussed in the past few Mishnayos, they were piled up. Meaning if you have a container which is supposed to measure an amount of flour for a particular Korban Mincha, it wouldn't be flattened at the top of the container, rather it would be heaped up slightly, and that would be the amount of flour being brought. Chutz Mishal Kohen Gadol, except for the Minchas Chavitin brought by a Kohen Gadol every day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, Shoy Gojel Soicha, because that was sort of piled up inside, meaning the measure was taken exactly with the flour being scraped off the top and not heaped up, but rather flattened at the top of that container, that measuring utensil. Continues the Mishnah, Midos Halach, the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash to measure liquids, Beritzein Kodesh, that which overflows from them and goes over the outside of the utensil, Kodesh, it is sanctified. Whereas Midos HaYovish, the measuring utensils for solids, Beritzein Chol, that which overflows and spills over, does not become sanctified. According to this opinion in the Mishnah, the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash were anointed and sort of sanctified only on the inside and not on the outside. However, the liquid measures were sanctified even on the outside, and that would explain this difference. Rabbi Akiva says that I agree with the halach kodesh, the measuring utensils for liquids were sanctified. Lefichach beretzein kodesh, and therefore that which overflows over to the outside is sanctified. However, I hold that umidus hayovesh chol, the utensils used to measure solids are totally not sanctified, even on the inside. L'fichach beretzein chol, therefore that which overflows from them is also not sanctified, because the only way that the flour anyway becomes sanctified is by the person intending and designating for it to be used for the korban. So therefore he only intends for that flour which is going to be used and that which is needed to be sanctified. That which overflows and doesn't end up being used for the korban, he never had the intention to sanctify. Rabbi Yossi says, Lo mishum zeh, not because of this. According to Rabbi Yossi, both types of measuring utensils were sanctified, but they were only sanctified on the inside. Not like the first opinion in the Mishnah, that liquid measuring utensils were sanctified even on the outside. Even those were sanctified only on the inside. So if so, why is it that the liquid which overflows becomes sanctified? Ela she'alach ne'ekar, because the liquid is considered to come out of the inside of the measuring utensil. When you pour liquid into another liquid and it overflows, it's not true to say that the liquid which is being added goes totally over the sides and not inside. It gets mixed with all of the liquid and part of it ends up overflowing, part of it ends up staying inside. And part of the liquid which was already there in the container gets displaced and overflows. But either way, we look at it as all of the liquid having come from inside the utensil, whereas v'hayovish enu ne'akar, the solids are not uprooted, they don't come from within the utensil. Rather, if you spill it over and it overflows, it never entered the inside. So if it never entered the inside, then it never became sanctified, because only the inside of these utensils was sanctified according to Rabbi Yossi.